buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force of air. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape. They burn the kids. No more leaves, gun, trees. Lie to your face, fight. And die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. This is Rock the Boat. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is UCY.TV, and it is, what is today? Tuesday, someday, the 11th, I guess, of October. And I'm your host for the next hour. I start off by saying I had a couple of interesting conversations, one with the Attorney General's office today, and one with the Ministry of Energy today. And the first call I made was to the constituent office of the ex-Attorney General, which is in Vanier, Ottawa Vanier. And she's resigned both her position as Member of Parliament and Member of Provincial Parliament, and as Attorney General. But it was kind of interesting because I've got a few numbers here on my speed dial for Attorney General's office, and I hit the wrong one, ended up at the ex-Attorney General's constituency office. But I had a really good chat with a lady there. And what really bothers me about these people is we're talking, and she understands how this operates. She understands that the police cannot charge a man or a woman. She understands that the government cannot obligate a man and a woman. A man and a woman is not liable, chargeable, accountable. Only the legal fiction is liable and accountable and obligated. She understands all this stuff. I find that very disturbing because the population as a whole does not. So the population as a whole figures that when they get a bill, the bill went to them, which it didn't, because you can't be billed. Only the legal entity can be billed. So the corporate entity is what gets billed. And then the people pay the bill, thinking the bill is for them. And the corporate entity belongs to the Crown. So the bills are being sent to the Crown. Your speeding ticket is the Crown is charged, not you, because you're not chargeable, because in the legal system, which is not a system of law at all, it's the opposite of law, it is the antithesis of law, it means exactly opposite of law. So every time someone in the legislature, don't care where you are, someone in the legislature or some party or the legislature as a whole passes a new law, what they've done is they've broken the law. The legislature, by definition, are lawbreakers. And it bothers me that these people who work for the government know this, yet hold the population hostage to this fraud. Very difficult to accept. And then when I was talking to the Ministry of Energy, we had a very interesting conversation there as well. But the lady who worked for the ex-attorney general in the constituency office, she said, I know all that stuff. Well, if you know it, why aren't you saying something about it? Well, I can't do anything about it all by myself. Well, no. But if you speak up, others will know, and then you're not going to try and change anything by yourself, are you? And, you know, when you talk to these people and you say, you know, you have an obligation to your family. You have an obligation to your forefathers. You got an obligation to the children, grandchildren, those not yet born, but you sit there in your chair answering the phone saying you understand this stuff 100%. But you remain silent. You know they're trying to take us down the toilet. You know they're trying to flush us. But you sit there quiet. This is really pathetic. But anyways, we didn't have a bad conversation. And she did manage to write down the new despotism. I explained that to her. And she seemed willing to go read it. So hopefully she'll get a deeper idea of where we're headed to with this thing if we don't stop it. But the same thing with the Ministry of Energy. Now, I've been involved with them, if you will, over the years. And many years ago, it's 10 years ago, I guess, now. Since I had a conversation with the senior policy advisor at the Ministry of Energy, explaining that this entire renewable energy system is a complete and total fraud. I explained to him what I had come up with, which included building one small nuke and putting the scrubbers on the coal plants for a cost of $10 billion. And that would give us, as clean as you can get, reliable, cost-effective electrical system. And the senior policy advisor agreed 100%, both with my numbers and my way of going about it, with the one nuke and the scrubbers. And I said, well, my numbers say that this will cost approximately $10 billion. And he said, those numbers are bang on as well. Okay, we agree that's what needs to be done, but we also know that's not what's happening. We're already over the $100 billion mark in this fraudulent renewable energy, and we know it's not cost-effective. We know it's not reliable. So what are we doing? And what he told me, he said, what you mentioned first is what we call engineering. What's going on is politics. And so what we know about politics is corporate. And so we're being fleeced by the corporation because we're on the hook for the debt. And it's absolutely disgusting. So I'm talking to the lady there today at the, I think her name was Bonnie, nice lady. But I'm talking to her, and this is another example of somebody knowing but not saying anything. So this is what it says on the Ministry of Energy's website. The Minister of Energy, known as in brackets all cap energy, is responsible for managing government policy and initiatives leading to a reliable energy system, which it is not. What me and the senior policy advisor discussed as far as engineering was concerned was a reliable energy system. So right away, the ministry is bullshitting, if you will. The ministry is focused on establishing Ontario's conservation culture. Now, we also know that you cannot conserve electricity. The linesmen have said so, the engineers have said so, and it's just common sense. You can't put energy in a jar. Okay? Now, somebody said, well, you can put it in a battery. Yes, but you're not going to power the grid with batteries. That's a given. So this conservation culture, you either make electricity and use it, you make it, don't use it, or you don't make it and don't use it. There's your choices. There's no conservation in there whatsoever. The conservation culture is a culture of ever-increasing prices in order for you to use less because you can't afford to use any. And that's straight out of the United Nations, wanting us to reduce our energy usage by 75%, along with our water usage by 75%. And the way they're going to force us to do it is they're going to spew conservation at us, but what they're doing is they're price pointing it up so you can't afford to use it. So also, conservation culture, also ensuring a cost-effective. Well, you're not ensuring a cost-effective anything because more and more people are getting cut off their power every day because you've driven the price so freaking high, people can't afford it. So that's a lie. Conservation culture is a lie. Ensuring a cost-efficient, reliable, and environmentally sustainable energy system. They're all lies. The whole thing's a lie. And directing energy financing and procurement. Well, that energy financing and procurement is going out to offshore companies, all connected through the UN, all hooked into this renewable energy fraud. Energy, it says, and that energy apparently stands for Ministry of Energy because they're too lazy to say it, so they took Ministry of Energy, which is all in upper lower case, and turned it into energy, all caps. Now, asterisk, is that an acronym? Because that's normally what all caps are. It's either that or a title. Well, no, we just use that because there's so many ministries, we just use the word energy, but why is it all caps? I don't know. Anyways, energy sets the legislative and policy framework within the energy sector. Participants and regulators operate. The ministry works closely with a range of provincially established organizations, including the Ontario Power Authority, the Independent Electricity System Operator, the Ontario Energy Board, Hydro One, and Ontario Power Generation. So my question to Bonnie was, I see the Ontario Energy Board here. Now, I've had conversations with the Premier's Office and the Ministry of Energy, and they both agree that the Ontario Energy Board is realistically not even in Ontario. It's a legislated body, but nobody in the government can tell it what to do. And that's the board that's in charge of setting the electricity and gas rates. And that's completely connected to Enron. Got all a ton of emails with the connection to the Ontario Energy Board with Enron. Now, they're presently selling off Hydro One, so my question to her was, these other entities that are listed here, are they set up the same way as the Ontario Energy Board? Because the way this is written, it sounds so. Which means that the legislature sets up these boards and agencies, and they set them in such a way that they can't tell them what to do. The very legislators that created these things can't tell them what to do then. And that is exactly what it says in the New Despotism. Okay? So the parties who are supposed to be responsible, i.e. you're elected, are not. But then it says so in the Canadian deal where we were given responsible government, but the word responsible in responsible government does not have the definition of the word responsible. But having talked with Bonnie for a bit, she seemed to understand what's going on. And she originally worked for the old Ontario Hydro, which was just a great system. We had very low hydro rates. The idea of Ontario Hydro was to give businesses an advantage. The manufacturing business is an advantage with as low as possible hydro rates, which also gave the worker an advantage because they had more in-pocket money from their paycheck with low hydro rates. And then in 1992, Bob Rae of the NDP appointed his godfather, Maurice Strong, into the position of head of hydro with the idea of revamping it. Well, it's been revamped. It's been sold off, screwed over, enronized, and turned into a basket case that certain entities are filling their pockets full of the good people's money, while the good people can't afford to heat or light their homes. But Bonnie, having been from Ontario, or from Ontario Hydro, the original Ontario Hydro, has watched this thing be torn to pieces, sold off, screwed with it, and she was almost the same as the lady from the ex-attorney general's office, saying, you know, I know what's going on, but what can I do? We got to stop this attitude, people. What can I do? You can do a whole hell of a lot. Open your face. Open your frickin' face. Now, we have the same problem here in Canada as they have in the United States, and they have in Australia, and they have in the in the European countries. And that is, we're being flogged by immigrants. Now, this is a pretty funny story. This was in Bloomberg Financial News, I guess. And that is that Trudeau's national carbon tax is a model that should be widely copied around the world. Now, this PM that we have, I guess I call him Tinkerbell, but I guess we call him Pinhead, whose father was the prime minister, doesn't have a clue. His claim to fame really is he taught snowboarding, and somehow now he's running the country. It's very, very dangerous what's going on here. So we're getting a lot of stuff on that, and people really got ugly with our immigration minister. Now, John McCollum is an ex-Toronto bank guy. So you know right now the man can't be trusted, now he's in charge of immigration. This guy has been a piss tank his entire life. Says he's off the bottle now, but his nose keeps looking more like a hardcore piss tank, which he is. So he has a plan. And the plan is to welcome another 305,000 newcomers this year. And basically, this is what they did with the East Indians when I was on the West Coast, and they flooded the West Coast with the East Indians way back when. And it was the same thing. They bring them in, and then once they're in, then all of their families can show up. It's like an instant open door. And this is exactly what they're doing again. Well, this time they're doing it with Muslims. Well, and I guess a lot of the East Indians are Muslim as well. And telling us that, what's he call it here? With the biggest rise in family, reunification, and refugee categories. Well, I, Minister of Immigration, to John McCallum, Minister of Genocide, because that's exactly what he's doing. And it is genocidal. People think genocide is, you know, what they did to the native Indians the killing of them. That's not the genocide, although it can be part of it. But the real definition of genocide is the destruction of a society, not necessarily by killing them, but destroying their society. And that's what's going on here in the West. And it has been going on for a long time. And it is genocide. Okay? When you're bringing people in the United States who are not even American citizens, who are given the vote, think about that. How is that possible? Well, it's going on. And the idea of bringing in all of these Muslims is to change our law. Okay, we're under corporate law now. People think we're under common law. I don't like any word attached to the word law. Okay, I don't like common law. I don't like, what's that other one with the water? What the hell is that one called? Whatever. There's so many names on law. Every time you attach a word to a word, you change the meaning of the word. I'm into law, period. Okay? And we don't have law. We have corporate law. We were in court for quite some period of time. And when I asked the guy from the Attorney General's office and the head of the OPP that was there, if it was a common law court or a corporate court, I was told by the head of the OPP that it's all corporate. And he was absolutely correct. It's all corporate because of your legal entity. Okay? And the legal is corporate. Political legal system is a corporate system, period. This idea that you got common law is a joke. Anyways, I just wrote this. The pace of planned genocide quickens. Generally, it was white Europeans that built this nation. It is being turned over to Islam and Sharia law. If this is not stopped now, our legislatures will fill with Muslim politicians. The legislature is where law is written. Now, I put law in there, but that's what they call it, but I don't have room in Facebook to explain all of this stuff to people. Given time, it will be Sharia law that comes from the legislature. The enemy is inside the gate, and one of them is pictured here, and that's McCollum. Now, I'm pleased with some of these comments I'm getting, because people are finally getting angry. Finally. And I always use that thing of Rockefeller when he said our window of opportunity has already begun to close, or our window of opportunity will only be open for a short time. And they got to move, which meant they're going to have to start pushing at people harder and harder and harder. And even the dumbest of the dumb have to start asking questions. So some of these comments here, take him and the others out. They have gone completely stupid, and their lack of principles and ethics. If he or they don't care about Canadian non-Muslim, then they deserve to be eliminated themselves first. And that's got a lot of likes on that comment. Time to stand, folks. And let's let this jerk and our PM know beyond any doubt that we want our Canadian borders closed to these people. And it's true. We need to close our borders. We need to close our borders not just to the Muslims. We need to close our borders to the Chinese imports. We need to get back to producing for ourselves. If we don't produce anything, well, we're kind of screwed, aren't we? Because they can shut down shipments to us anytime they want. So we become dependent on foreign nations for our livelihoods and our safety, our food, our materials, our finished goods. And that's not a nation, folks. That's a bunch of losers when you get yourself into that position. Albert Corbett says, that's the bastard that should be hung. Wake up, people. this bastard needs his head kicked in. It somehow must be stopped. And I'm just reading the original things because there's a gutload of replies coming back on these comments that people are making, the post I put up. Fire him, he's lost his mind. If only we could get rid of this PM and the government. The problem is that someone has to get their hands dirty. Civil war. He's an idiot. And so on and so forth. So I was kind of pleased with some of these responses. It at least shows me that people are getting angry. And that's a good sign. It is absolutely a good sign. We have a picture of a noose up here somebody put in. Remember, you are never, what's that say? You are never too important to be hanged for treason. And this is treason. It's mass treason against the people. It is the government turned on the people. And they are the enemy at this point because they're doing the bidding of those who wish to destroy your nation. The plan being end of nation states. Well, if you're not a nation anymore, what are you? You're screwed. So I was quite pleased to see some of these replies. About bloody time. A lot of people are still having their hard time wrapping their brain around some of this stuff, but they need to wrap their brain around it. Now, put in a post here in the Facebook. It's just Rock the Boat Radio Facebook. So if you want to hang in there or join, you know, join it, like it, whatever they call it, fill your boots. The headline we had was people are anxious about GMOs and they are ill informed about them, says the headline. People are ill informed about GMOs, but it's on purpose, both by government and science. And the problem here is that we have 34 million people living in what they call Canada, and there is no reason. Absolutely no reason anyone should be eating adulterated food. As a well-known fact, government lies all the time. History proves it. Same as science. They're a bunch of liars. They've been put in the position of the new priest, and you're not supposed to question the priests. And science has taken the role of the new priests. So they told us, don't eat butter, it's bad for you. Then they came out and they filled people's guts full of drugs. Oh, your cholesterol is high. Yada, 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 yada. Oh my God, you must be eating butter. Try margarine. They told us eggs were bad for us. Eat egg alternatives. But then, years later, they admit they were wrong. But they filled you up with a bunch of garbage and got eating more pills. The common people, that's you and I, are told to trust science and government without question. There's the problem in a nutshell. To trust science and government without question and not hold their feet to the fire is something only a fool would do. Don't be a fool. Don't let government and science use your body as something to be experimented with. Let the explosive rates of cancer and other illnesses be a warning to you. But the article, the original article, is yammering on about why they don't want to label it, why they shouldn't have to label it, it's too costly to label it, and the scientists and the government are happy that this stuff is 100% safe. They got a picture of two trout here. One is about, I'm going to say, they're the same age, only the GMO or the genetically engineered trout is, I'm going to say, at least three times the size of a normal trout. So we know this other trout is messed up. Because if that trout is a real trout and it's that size, and the other trout, which is the same age, is three times its size, we know we got a genetic problem going on here. And do you really want to be putting that into your gut? And the government's saying, well, no, we're satisfied, it's safe. Kind of reminds me of that old movie, The Island of Dr. Moreau, where they were messing with animals and experimenting, if you will. And this is what we're into. So we need to, we got to get on top of these people. We got to get in their faces. We have to encourage, you know, for the calls I made today to the government, and when I'm hearing the people on the other end saying they understand, they know what's going on, but they don't believe they can make a difference. Well, we need to encourage those people to speak up. Maybe not at work, but when they're off work, to talk to their friends and their neighbors, because these people know exactly what's going down. And I wouldn't want to be one of them. Can you imagine sitting at your job all day answering phones for a government department when you know how fraudulent this whole thing is and you're afraid to say anything? You can't say anything because your job description says you can't say anything? Can you imagine when people are calling in and they've been thrown out of their house, or they had their car towed away, or whatever the problem may be? And the people on the other end of the phone understand this system inside and out and know that these people are being harmed, and the best they can do is shuffle them off to another agency who supposedly may or may not be able to help them. I don't know how these people can sleep at night. But we do need to encourage them. We need to encourage them to speak up and spread the word. Absolutely. Now, I got this interesting thing on the UN here, and I think this is pretty interesting. We have, you know, people say, oh, what are you worried about the UN for? They've got no teeth, yada, yada, yada. I mean, that's been the biggest freaking scam going. But, you know, I guess it's a picture, PDF picture, whatever, the United Nations system. And, you know, you go through this and everything that your life is involved in has a UN organization to deal with it. And I don't think most people know about it, so I'm going to fire that up on my blog, I guess, later tonight, and over to Facebook. I'm sick and tired of these people who are not informed about what the United Nations actually is. Now, that's the picture of their system. Most of the people in this chat probably already know it, probably already seen it. But this site here is called, Jesus. Is there an easier way for me to get that? There's a lot of, that's not even going to back up for me, is it? Let's see if we can get back there. Nope. Okay. That's not what we want. I want this. Anyways, the address, if you're listening to the show, is I don't do the www. So I just did it, but I ain't going to do it no more. If you don't know his www dot by now in front of an address, then can't help you. Anyways, it's un.org/ga/search/view_doc.asap?symbol. But I think if you just go to un.org/ga, I think you will get where we need you to get to. And this is the official document system of the United Nations. And this I want everyone to use. You can put in a symbol, words, date, search, subject. I mean, it's a full-ass, heavy-duty search engine. And, you know, when I look down here, we have Daily Documents, Daily Journal, New York, Daily Documents, Daily Bulletin out of Geneva, most download documents, 1 to 5, most download documents, 6 to 10. When I open up the Daily Documents, it's a hellish long list here. I just found this just before supper, so but these are documents, and note by the Secretary General, SG report containing comments received from governments, ECA, and intergovernmental organizations. I'm sure there's some pretty interesting things in here. Global Strategy for Health for All by the year 2000, note by the Secretary General. Food Problems Report, Provisions Agenda for the 36th Regular Session. I think people need to get a little deeper into the UN documents. I mean, me, I've been through tens of thousands of these damn things. And this is where the real information is. It's not a bunch of political a-holes running around yipping this and that and the other thing. It is these guys, you know, which is the World Bank and the International Settlements and the IMF and so on and so forth. So here we have, this is from September of 1981. This is where you're going to find the really interesting stuff. The International Law Commission, in the report on the work of its 13th session held the day 28th of July 1978, submitted to the General Assembly at its 33rd session its final set of draft articles on most favored nation clauses, conformity with the recommendation made by the Assembly and resolutions. I know this is kind of boring shit to read, but you need to go through this stuff. You need to root around in these places in order to get a better idea of what the hell's going on, okay, and how these guys actually operate. That's important to know how these guys operate. Okay, I don't know if I got anything to hear from. Let me look here, back up a second, and go back to here. And let's see, we'll just put this in real quick. Session green language. Search. See what we bring up. Daily Bulletin, Geneva. October, the Wednesday, the 12th of October. See, you get your news. You can get your UN news a day ahead of time, right? Because it's already the 12th over there, and it's only 11 here. So this is a bulletin they put out. And the Committee on Committee of Experts on International Cooperation and Tax Matters, Let me see here. Working group on the issue of human rights commitments related to the discrimination against women in law and practice. Intergovernmental Working Group on the Effective Implementation of the Durban Declaration and Program of Action. The International Organization for Migration, International Dialogue on Migration Workshop, 11th and 12th of October. That's going on right now. So, you know, you can track some of this stuff down, and it's important, you know. You need to know, and again, I know that most people who listen to this show anyways, and many of the other shows here, already have a pretty good lead on what the UN's up to and what it is. But I think it might be a useful search engine for some of the more astute researchers. You may find some stuff that you can alert your people to, things that are coming, or why things are the way they are and where they came from. So I'll stick that in the chat as well. And for those listening, I think if you just go un.org/GA and maybe /search, but I think if we just do the GA part, you should be okay. And these are the kind of things that people, you know, it's the same thing. When I came across the League of Nations search engine, I thought, hot damn, you know. It's an amazing thing to wander through because it's old. And you can get a better view looking back to understand what you're seeing today, but you really need to back up. I can't say that enough times. You got to back up to understand fully what the hell's going on. And then it makes it much easier. The research in that gets a whole lot quicker and easier. We've got here's another one here. United. This isn't too bad either. This is their sustainable development platform, knowledge platform. This ain't too bad either. It's worth taking a wander through. I know it's not exciting. I know it's not, WikiLeaks, more emails from as far as I'm concerned, the whole WikiLeaks thing is a setup, a distraction. If you got all the emails, they've been releasing these emails for, 150 years now? Something like that? Just kidding on that. But it's been a hell of a long time. Now, if you got some bastardizing information and the country's going down the toilet, why are you releasing it in little spits and spats? Just get the shit out, right? So I don't really have a lot of faith in WikiLeaks. I don't pay any attention to it, actually. None. It's... and here's another thing here. Let me see here. This is just so people understand some of this stuff. We have Lloyd Axworthy, who's a member of the UNPA, that's the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, the campaign for United Nations Parliamentary Assembly. So these people are out campaigning for United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, which is a United Nations government. Because parliamentary assemblies, which are legislatures, write law. So they wish to have our law written by unelected people. Now, the fact that we have elected people The fact that we have professors and newscasters and senators all pushing for this campaign for United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, well, you can't get more treasonous than that, can you? These are the people that you're paying their salaries and their pensions, were a hell of a lot better than your pensions ever going to be. And we're paying them to undermine our nation. And then we make any bones about it. It's bloody ridiculous. Our present prime minister, who apparently has come up with a perfect carbon tax plan that all nations should follow, is a member of the UNPA. And McCollum, the drunken ex-Toronto bank guy, who is going to genocide us with high-level breeders from the Middle East, is a member of the UNPA. Now, we also have... where is that? NGOs, just so people understand it, because when Occupy first came out, when it just came out, it was so fresh off the shelf, it was ridiculous. Then we did a show, me and my ex-partner over on, my ex-co-host over on Orion Radio, outing the Occupy movement for what it was, where it came from, what it was designed for. And we have some NGOs here from Canada. We have the Bloc Québécois, which is a political party, is a member of is listed as an NGO. And pushing for the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly or system. And we have the British Columbia Humanist Association. We have the Humanist Union. We have the World Federalist Movement of Canada. We have the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Civilian Peace Service Canada, United Nations Association of Canada, Vancouver branch. And, here it is here, Occupy Canada, the 99%.ca Canada is a proud member of the Campaign for United Nations Parliamentary Assembly. Now, apparently Occupy was anti-corporate. Well, the United Nations is all corporate. So, you know, it's not good. So you need to look through all of these things. Okay, let's look at this. All countries. Nobel and Right Livelihood laureates. And there's a whole string of these buggers. Maud Barlow from Canada, chairperson of the Council of Canadians, co-founder of Blue Planet Project with Maurice Strong, member of World Future Council, which is a globalist organization looking for a world government. And she is one of the pride and joys of our government and the media. Everywhere Maud goes, Maud gets extremely positive news pieces written. Total traitor. And let's see here. I don't know who most of these people are, but they are members, and they're pushing for a global government through the United Nations. Professors. We got 442 professors pushing for the world government. We have featured individuals. What would a featured individual look like? Again, a lot of these people I don't know because a lot of them are from like Nigeria, and he's with the guy from Nigeria is the chair of Friends of the Earth Nigeria, and if you've ever studied Friends of the Earth, you know what those guys are up to. There's Maud Barlow again. There's Lloyd Axworthy, President, University of Winnipeg, Foreign Minister of Canada. They're Foreign Minister of Canada. Yeah, a lot of these names, I haven't got a clue who these people are. Boutros-Ghali, former UN Secretary General, dead, thank you. A lot of these names I don't reckon. Oh, Romeo Dallaire, former Secretary, former Senator, former Force Commander of the United Nations Assistant Mission for Rwanda. He's from Canada. I'm just running through these names here. But these are all important things to pay attention to. And you don't pay attention to the news so much, although I do read some of the news because I know what it means, because we studied this thing a long time ago. A lot of people that read this stuff, there's Flora McDonald, former MP, Secretary of State for External Affairs. And what does affairs mean? Affairs means business. That's what affairs means. It means business. So it's external business. Why? Because Canada's a corporation. They have domestic affairs, foreign affairs, international affairs. It's all business and it's all corporate. And you're being used as the dummies that really perpetrate this nonsense. So take a boot at the UNPA. And there's so many other things like the World Federalist Association, Walter Cronkite got his award, the Norman Cousins Award, and it was Walter Cronkite, the man you can trust in news all those years, getting his award. Now that he's not doing the news, he can say what he's on his mind, and what is on his mind is accepting the award, is that he is, and these are his words, not mine. I'm proud, says Walter. I'm proud to sit at the side of Satan. Because that's exactly what the legal system is. The legal system is an adversarial system. Look up adversary. I say this so many times, it makes my wife nuts listening to this stuff, but look up adversary and you see the word Satan. So we know what the legal system is. We know what the corporate system is. Okay? And where am I here? I want to just, while I'm yammering on about this stuff, let me see. If I can get back to this. Persephone, the wife of Hades, queen of what? The netherworld. The netherworld, identified with Kor, daughter of Zeus and Demeter, from the Greek, see person. And that's what you got. Person down here, it says, early 13th century, human being, anyone, person. And directly from the Latin, persona, in quotes, human being, person, personage, semicolon, a part in a drama, an assumed character. That's what a human being is. A human being is the same as a person. It's a fake deal. That's why I keep saying the King James Bible, the two words you will not find in it are human and legal. Why? because neither one's real. They're both color of, similar like to, but not a man or law. So when they say, you know, human rights, okay, they're talking about fictional rights for fictional people. That's why I hate when people say human. That's one word that bugs the living hellry out of me, is human. It says right here in etymology, which is the origin of the world, that a human being, a person, a personage, is a part in a drama, an assumed character. So why in the hell do people walk around calling themselves human? When somebody's running around talking, humanity or human rights, you know you're listening to an idiot, or you're being propagandized to, you're being deceived. So try to rub that freaking word out of your vocabulary, please. And this idea of mixing, that's what they do. They mix, they confuse, they deceive, they mix the words law and legal in the same damn sentence. They mix the words human and mankind or man in the same sentence. And people assume then that they mean the same thing. They don't. They mean the opposite. They're opposites, not the same. And we got to start using better language. I mean, I sometimes slip up. Nobody's perfect. But that's just, you know, I can't do much about it. Let me just check this out real quick. We've got about 2 minutes here, maybe. Where can I go here? I'll just go down here. Okay, definition, Webster, the netherworld, the world of the dead. A place unknown to most people where secret and often illegal things are done. Now, they don't even have that correct, but, well, illegal things, that makes sense. Illegal things are done. These are unlawful things because legal is, again, the antithesis of lawful. So, yes, okay? So this is what you're calling yourself when you say, I'm a human being. You're dead. But the human being is the legal entity, which is dead. It's paper. It has no life. And this is something we got to get out in the front here, because the government has no capacity whatsoever. The legal system has no capacity to hold a man liable, accountable, or obligate that man to anything that they do, unless we accept this personhood, this thing, this dead thing from the netherworld. We got to stop that crap. And make no mistake, we're going to win this fight. Because we're supposed to. It's that simple. So I think we're out of time. I got to talk to the professor at Lethbridge. I haven't got a chance to talk to him today. I'm going to make an effort to get him on here Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So hopefully we got him arranged by then, because I think that's going to be very interesting for him, as well as me, as well as the listeners. All right? Everybody have yourselves a great night. Remember, you're not amphibian. No one makes gun. Trees lie to your face.